Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
Say something.
Something.
All good.
Zach, just saving the bland. Oh, Darren, do you want to do your background? All right. Are we ready?
Mm-hmm. Do we want to test the microphones
real quick? Okay. Here we go. Boom, ba da boom, 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 boom. Ba 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 boom.
Talk, 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 talk. Talk, 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 talk.
Okay. Everyone ready?
Yes.
Okay, let's do it. Mute everybody.
This is your announcer, Chuck Landington, welcoming you to the Metal Injection Livecast. So much talk this week about the royal family. There hasn't been such a high level of outrage over such unimportant people since every story about Tommy Vext ever. The Metal Injection Livecast starts now.
Welcome, all royalty, to the Metal Injection Livecast. And all non-royals, all plebeians. All sections of the class structure are welcome on the live cast, especially the proletariat. Right?
Sure.
I would think so. It's the Metal Injection live cast. Rob here with Sid, Noah, and Durinsky. What a handsome man.
And, I like that mug. It's got a fancy
mug. What does it say?
There. It says, thank you for leaving me alone.
Mm. And you can leave us alone by giving us a call. 213-WIDENUT is the phone number. 213-943-3688. If you need yourself even more live cast than our free weekly episode, the archives of which are available everywhere. We have all 610 episodes available, and you could be a part of them on streaming platforms. And if you want more, hit up our Patreon, patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast. For $5 a month, you get access to 2 bonus episodes a month and a bunch of other extra features. Sid has a TV column. I've been doing a music column. We've been doing some group chats. You get access to the video version of the podcasts. We have basically a year now of of video archives, which is crazy. And a ton more fun stuff. The big Patreon episode at the top of the month this month is a live cast Hall of Fame episode where we revisit some of our classic memes. Which memes did we revisit this month, Sydney?
What did we do?
Mark B.
Yeah, Mark B.
Oh, yes, that's right. Mark B was the big anchor of this one, and
Trope guy,
Mark B,
and Moshiach.
Yes. And
you're significantly underplaying Mark's weight by calling him an anchor.
And you could, and I do want to mention, and we actually show Mark B visuals. So
maybe advertising that.
Yeah.
Late.
It makes a quite
like,
a difference.
But don't tell him.
Yeah.
Don't tell
friends.
Him who did it.
Yeah, between us squirrel friends.
By the way, Sid, very good eyes. That mug was on screen for like a quarter of a second, and you read the whole thing.
You brought it back up.
Yeah, but after you said it to show it.
Yeah.
I'm giving you a compliment, you prick.
Right, fine. Thank you.
Fuck's sake.
I'm not good taking compliments. I'm bad at it.
Another person who was not giving out compliments recently is Geeza Butler. Geeza Butler.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Meghan Markle based on our opening.
Oh, no, we don't have to talk about Meghan Markle. It didn't sound like she was getting too many compliments from.
No compliments going around. Yeah.
But the big story today. I don't know how big it is, but the big gossip, let's say the big gossip of the day, that's more accurate. The big metal gossip of the day is Geezer Butler claiming that he was the one that showed Ronnie James Dio the devil horn. And so the metal lore will say that Ronnie James Dio invented the devil horns. And if you've ever watched his Behind the Music or various interviews he's done, he said that he got the idea for the devil horns from his Italian grandmother, who said this would ward off the evil eye, like doing the horns. But Geezer Butler disputes that. And he was speaking to Eddie Trunk recently. Mm-hmm.
I never seen so many old fucks fight over a hand gesture since I seen them playing bocce ball in the park last week.
How do they even remember that far back?
You don't remember what happened 40 years ago, Nella?
I don't remember what happened 10 minutes ago.
Right.
Oh, okay.
That's how it is when you get to be old. Like, you don't remember how to put your pants on, but you remember shit that happened in, like, 1971.
Yeah, like those memories are just implanted in your head, I
right.
feel. And so, Darren, do you mind reading the Geezer Butler quotes in your best Geezer Butler accent? Because it just could be a ridiculous Cockney accent.
I was going to say, I don't know what this fucking guy sounds like, but yeah, I'll be happy to. I always used to do it. Part you want?
Yeah, yeah.
I always used to do it in a breakdown. In this
He's
song,
talking about the devil horns, by the way.
The devil horns I'm talking about. In the song Black Sabbath, just before it goes into the first part, at the end, I do that sign to the audience. And on the first couple of Evan and L tour shows, Ronnie was saying, when I'm going on stage, everybody is doing a peace sign to me. And it's an Aussie thing. I feel like I should be doing something back to him. He says, what's that sign you do in Black Sabbath? And I showed him the devil horn sign. And he started doing it from air. And that made it famous.
Big revelation from Geezer Butler. Big revelation.
I have a question.
35 years after playing with him.
I have a question.
Or 40
so,
now. Go ahead.
He says everybody was doing the peace sign at him. Does he mean this? Because in England, this does not mean peace. This means fuck you. So I'm wondering if maybe they were just mad at him for replacing Ozzy and they were flipping him off and he thought that was the peace sign. Is that possible?
Oh, maybe.
I don't.
So the peace sign is outward. Your fingers are pointing outward, but if your fingers are pointing to you, then
fuck
that's
off.
The British fuck you.
Yeah. I never knew that. I never knew that.
I believe so.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, because when Nigel McGuinness would come out, that's what he would do. He would come out, this wrestler, and he would do the fuck you, double fuck you.
I thought it was the cunnilingus symbol.
That's if you put your tongue through it.
Oh, okay.
So there's a little more to the quote. Trunk asked Butler why he's only mentioning this now. A great follow-up from Eddie Trunk. And Butler responded...
Oh, sorry.
can we get Geezer on?
I didn't really think much of it. As I say, I got pictures of me doing it in 1971. And it was just an alternative to Aussie's peace signs. I was doing it. And if you look at the Beatles' Yellow Submarine album cover, John Lennon's cartoon character's doing it in 1966 or whatever it was. That was an old sign. I was just doing it because Aleister Crowley used to do it.
So the highlight of this quote is the following paragraph, and then, Darren, I won't make you do this accent anymore. he's talking about how this wasn't the only thing that Dio happened to have learned from Geezer.
There's a lot of things that he nicked off of me. That he claimed that he was the originator. But he made it famous, so I didn't care. The album title, Sacred Art, that's where I used to go to school. And he called one of his songs, One Foot in the Grave. I jokingly said, we should call the album One Foot in the Grave. And then when he left Sabbath, he called one of his songs that. He was very naughty about things like that. And when I did an autograph, I'd write magic. So Ronnie started writing magic as well. In fact, he called his album Magica. He was very naughty about things like that.
Yes, yes. That whole quote was just that last sentence.
Oh, I'm all UK'd out with this fucking, oh my God, the royal family, and now this.
He was very naughty about things like that.
Very, very naughty.
Hold on, let me do my Sharon Osbourne
voice.
He was
a cheeky bugger, wasn't he?
He was very naughty about things like that.
He was very cheeky, wasn't he?
My God.
Very cheeky, isn't he?
So, I'm here, you know. all the headlines today, obviously people picked up on the story, and he said, and Geezer wanted to clarify that he did not say he invented the devil horns hand sign, just that he was the one who showed it to Ronnie. He said, I merely shared an onstage moment between Ronnie and me. Ronnie made it famous, and it will always be associated with him, regardless of what anyone else says. He says, I do not want people to think I was dissing Ronnie in any way.
He actually said dissing?
Yes.
I cannot picture that.
Oh, I didn't want anyone to think I was dissing anybody.
I wasn't bringing it old school to Ronnie.
As me prep school brothers in the UK used to say, in 1959.
Yeah.
I was the one that invented the word dissing. I showed it to hip hop culture.
I was doing the piss off me mates. They were very naughty.
He concluded that he was one of my dearest friends ever, and I will always miss him and our friendship. So I will, you know, we're reading the quotes. Perhaps we're not getting the context of how he was delivering the stuff. Like, maybe he wasn't necessarily being, you know, upset about it or anything, but just saying it more matter-of-factly.
The subtle nuances of his relating his grievance about a fucking hand signal. Yeah, so you might be missing those.
Yeah.
The being naughty.
His cheeky naughtiness.
And the reason he waited till now to say anything is because Dio's dead now, so he can't contradict him. That's all.
But Dio's been dead for a while.
And the estate of Dio is alive and well, which he probably got some type of contact from them to retract his statement.
Well, the reason he's giving interviews is because they're re-releasing a bunch of Dio era Black Sabbath stuff. So it's great publicity for the re-releases.
I was going to say maybe because of the re-releases, that's how he heard that Dio died. Like, he didn't know.
Oh, no.
He just thought he wasn't returning his call. Like,
I can finally tell a story about Dio being a shithead.
I don't know. Ronnie James Dio seems like he was probably one of the nicest people.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah, and I feel like if...
That's not because he looks like a treasure elf.
You sang about rainbows and stuff. I mean, what's happier than
that? What a voice. What a voice in that treasure elf. But also, I feel like he would be the type of person that he would... Why would he not acknowledge this, you know? Like, why would he not give the credit to Geezer Butler? Or it's like maybe Geezer did... Maybe both are true. Geezer was the one that was doing it, but then it reminded him of the hand symbol that his grandma did to ward off the evil eye. Who knows?
Imagine you have all this success, you do all this in your life, and you get to like age 82, and like all, and you're just reduced to arguing about who invented a fucking hand signal. Like, really?
Well, like, there was no arguing, but he just brought it up.
We're on the line right now. We'll argue with him.
We're the one arguing. Well, I think we can all agree, though, that the one who didn't invent it was Gene Simmons. Because if you remember a few years ago, he tried to trademark the hand symbol, he got so much bad publicity, and I think it was even rejected. But I just remember also his attempt to trademark it was the I love you symbol. With
Rob, you're making the symbol now as you talk about this. Look at that.
Is Gene going to sue me? But we'll talk.
Now I'm firing off a cease and desist as we speak.
We'll talk about Gene in a second, but I do want to mention that if you're looking for another podcast to check out the Punk Rock MBA. The show is about doing what you love for a living, the business side of being a creator. It helps you achieve your own goals as a creator or entrepreneur. The show is hosted by Finn McKenty, my good buddy, and you may know him from his YouTube channel. He does a lot of fun videos, and past interviews include Matt Halpern of Periphery, Anthony Fantano, Matt Heafy of Trivium, Big Herc, Hoya of Madball, Tommy Rogers of Between the Buried and Me. And I have to say the Anthony Fantano episode was really, really interesting. Anthony Fantano, very popular YouTuber, and I thought he did a great job of kind of offering pretty common sense, like easy to follow advice to people looking to start their own YouTube channel and how to find success on there.
Oh.
So check out the.
But does he offer tech support, Rob, like you do when you go on podcasts?
Well, if you tweet him, he might respond. But he has a lot of followers. I don't know. Maybe we got to get Anthony on our show. We'll see.
Sure.
But you can check out the Punk Rock MBA wherever you listen to podcasts, and there will be a link in the description of this episode. And Gene Simmons also in the news, speaking of our buddy Gene.
Yes, I invented the podcasts.
I invented news.
I'm old royalties, I believe, at this time.
I had to go back and look up that story about Gene trying to trademark the devil horn symbol.
Yeah, I don't and too clearly.
Oh, it was in 2017. He tried to he filed a trademark, and I just remember like for 2 weeks, everybody was responding. Like he was, you know, everyone was just jumping on him. But anyway, in 2017, what a year he had! Because I just as I was searching for this, I found other stories from the year, and really, my headlines have been incredible. Gene Simmons banned for life from Fox News for inappropriate behavior. Well, what a classic moment. This was when I believe he said something suggestive to a woman.
Didn't he like just randomly walk into some meeting room and just start like touching people?
Yes, that was it. And then this headline, Gene Simmons says he trademarked the air if he could, compares himself to Jesus.
What was the? I don't remember him comparing himself to Jesus.
Let's see.
Other than they were both born Jewish.
Are you sure it wasn't Yeshua?
I'm loading up the story. And the other...
Thank you for Jewifying my statement. These guys are not properly releasing it into the... Thank you.
Okay, so he's how he compared himself to Jesus is you can't please everybody. Oh. Not everybody likes Jesus either. Instead of worrying what people think, I just go my merry way and do whatever I want to do. If I could, I would trademark the air you breathe. Every breath. Yes, I would.
Every breath you take. Every move that you make.
You should trademark that song.
I will copyright it.
I feel like he's capitalizing off of you.
How are their restaurants doing during the pandemic? Didn't they have
Rock and Roll Brews, is it?
I don't remember.
Oh, Gene Simmons Restaurant.
Rock and Brew, maybe that was it.
Rock and Brews, you got it. You got it, Sid.
Wow, Sid.
I know. This
I'm
is
worried
an
about you that you have enough brain space to remember that.
Yeah, I don't know what that's.
What are you using?
This is an audio, mostly an audio medium, but for our video users, I do want to show these photos of Gene and Paul. Oh.
What happened?
Hold on. I want to show Gene and Paul looking their best for the camera.
Oh, no. I'm scared.
Just some amazing. I'm just having 1 second.
Are they wearing Peter Chris
masks? Really, it's really ironic that Sid has this like hyper vigilant talent, and he like seldomly leaves his house.
What's the hyper vigilant talent?
He's so detail oriented. He like can scan his surroundings and pay attention to every little thing, and he has great memory, as we discovered in this last 20 minutes.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well,
you could have worked for the Mossad, Sid.
Maybe Sid. I do. Maybe I'm on this podcast to monitor you this whole time.
Do you see the window?
Yes.
Yeah, we see it.
Okay. Just the window, right? Just the browser?
Yeah, yeah. We don't see your porn.
Yeah.
Okay, good. My porn, you can't see my porn in the window. Okay.
Nope.
I think, yeah, that's why, because usually it indicates that just the window is selected. But look at these two. Can you imagine? First of all,
hairnets, gentlemen.
I was just going to say, look at this Gene Simmons wig. Like, you're going to have to wear a hairnet with that frizz.
Looks like my grandmother.
And like, are they actually here,
no,
or is
Photoshop.
This Photoshop,
that's
right?
That's definitely a Photoshop.
They would not. What's so funny to me is they would not be caught dead in their own restaurant.
Are they actually even standing next to each other, or is it two separate Photoshops? Like, I don't think they're really together in this photo.
Is this even their torsos?
No, with the jewelry, I believe that's
arms
fair.
And that's
chest.
Fair.
Wait, jewelry or jewelry?
Both.
Wait a minute.
There's
wait
a lot of both in this picture.
They actually came out.
No, that's fake.
It's deep fake.
It's the Photoshop for sure. They're not actually in the restaurant. Look, you don't think if they were actually there, the people in those seats would be looking at them? The patrons are all like just staring straight ahead. That's complete Photoshop.
We instructed all the patrons to avoid eye contact at all times.
These guys, who I imagine are the co-managers or whatever, just look like bowling champions. They look like world famous.
Yeah,
world famous bowlers.
It's them with a Kiss cover band that they met.
It's the same energy as like the old ladies that you see at
this. This is the most haunting photo I have ever
like
seen
Gene
in
Simmons.
My life. This is I think it's like a fisheye lens of some sort, and from like it's done from above, so I don't even know this. That photo is gonna haunt.
Describe
me
it, please, dream. Rob. Describe it for the listeners.
So it's a fisheye photo of Gene Simmons. He's double fisting beers, and the beers have Rock and Brew insignias on it, although it just says R&B, so
he copyrighted
very
that
weird thing. And then so he has a beer in each hand, and he's crossing his arms like he's feeding a manager of this restaurant on each side of him, and they are sticking out their tongues like they're Gene Simmons.
Yeah, they're lapping up the beer.
Gene is not sticking out his tongue. He's showing his teeth off, and he is looking like the Coney Island clown insignia, but creepier somehow.
It looks like his sunglasses are about to be blown off.
I gotta say, if you showed me that photo, and I would never know that was Gene Simmons. Like, I would have no clue that was Gene Simmons.
I think tomorrow we need to post that photo from the Livecast social media accounts as like a caption this contest. Because it's just, how have you not already done that on Metal Injection, Rob?
I love that Rob's saving it.
Yeah.
Send I gotta save it. Yeah. I'm sending it to him now.
I will definitely.
Okay.
Save it.
And then
very homoerotic.
Yeah, I like all of these photos look like insecure dating profile photo. You know, those guys that are like don't think they're attractive, so they make the face of like.
There's a very very strong sexual tension in that.
I don't think that's him. I think that's a like a lookalike.
A body double. It's like the same company that did the Melania body doubles is doing the Gene Simmons body doubles.
Can you click that first picture there?
This one?
The one that says rockability underneath. No. Oh.
Oh, wait.
Go back to the
here?
Pizza one. And
okay.
Of them, like, holding the pizza over there, like the first one.
Yeah, that one.
Oh, this one right here.
Yeah.
Why is he?
That's not him. That is so not him. It doesn't even look like him.
But also, what is it? This pizza? Almost looks like there's strawberries on this pizza.
It's like
very weird.
It's still not as bad as Chicago pizza, but no. It's not appetizing.
Could I say, what is up with this pizza? He's holding it almost like straight up, and it's like holding in place.
I've never actually seen a pizza, having grown up in Israel.
It's a pita with olives glued to it.
I was not even aware that this was food. But my wait staff instructed me that this was, in fact, edible.
Ah, this is a sad headline. 1 year ago, in May of 2020, Rockin' Brews prepared to reopen minus El Segundo, which falls to bankruptcy. Aww.
The whole city. Just because they had a Rockin' Brews.
Yeah, just because they accommodated Gene Simmons in a business venture.
Gene did not leave his wallet in El Segundo.
It had nothing to do with coronavirus.
No.
Working with Gene Simmons.
Worse than the coronavirus.
Better than nothing.
Barely, though.
Yeah.
Like this much better.
So do we want to read why he thinks Rock is dead?
Sure.
He's talked about it already. Darren, I sent you the link if you want to.
Oh, okay.
Put away your British voice and.
Oh, I see. Where does this? Oh, I see. The point is, yeah, Rock is dead. Because if we play the game from 1958 until 1988, which is 30 years, you had Elvis, the Beatles, the Stones, Pink Floyd, and on and on and on. And you can go to the heavy part of it, which is Metallica, Maiden. If you want to put Kiss in there, that's fine. Not fine. AC/DC, and on and on and on. He's just naming every band here, it seems. Even U2, Prince, David Bowie. This is like a wall of text, and it's just all bands. Eagles. And then you get to disco stuff, and Madonna, and that stuff. And Motown, of course.
He's just rambling. I feel so bad
for
the interviewer just listening to him ramble. You can basically skip this. After he says, there's just nothing that compares to the Beatles, that's where you could resume.
I see. The reason for that is not because there's a lack of talent, but because young folks, that kid living in his mom's basement, decided one day that he didn't want to pay for music. He wanted to download and file share. And that's what killed
him. Now, this is sexist. What, women don't file share?
No.
No, it's not file share.
Well, he said kid. He didn't give it a gender.
But then he said his, right? Then he said in his mother's basement.
That kid living in his mom's basement.
And that is why.
Also, if it's a kid, why is the child living in a basement? Shouldn't they have their own room, like, above
ground?
That's just
how Gene does with his kids, so he assumes other people.
I
as
put
well.
Them in their area, then when they want to watch WrestleMania, I allow them out for 1 hour.
But I got to call Mons to figure out how to order it.
I have my own. I have co-opted Mons. He no longer, for Francesa, he works for me.
Now, listen to this beautiful metaphor. It's like flowers. Jared, if you could.
It's like flowers. I invented flowers. It's like flowers. People water them and make sure there's enough sun and everything. As soon as you take your eyes off and you don't water the flowers, they will die. And people wonder why there aren't beautiful flowers. There aren't beautiful flowers? Well, because they don't water them. You get what you pay for. So nowadays, if you download a song, the artist will get 1/100th of 1 cent. Even Spotify, the artist sees very little of that. So you get what you pay for. Well, he's in Yisroel. That's why he doesn't see flowers.
Yeah, it's just sand.
Yeah.
No flowers there.
There's no water in Yisroel.
Maybe in southern Israel, but in northern Israel.
We plant the flowers in the nostrils of Palestinians. That is how we grow our flowers in my homeland. I gave us into hate.
Living your dead ones.
Oh, Gene, that was over the line. How dare you?
I'm just like picturing like a Palestinian person like trying to walk to work and all of a sudden they're forcing flowers up his nose.
Why would they be in Israel?
I don't, because he
true.
Works there. I don't know. He's like food service.
That's right.
He's got a fucking rose in his nose while he's trying to hand over some hummus to some people. Which makes his job more difficult. It's not fair. It's Jared moves and all of a sudden Gene Simmons' tongue appears from behind him. It's fucking terrifying.
It's hard for me to clear it.
But the following paragraph is where he finally makes his point, and then we can move on.
Oh, there's a point?
Oh, there is a point. Okay, good. Rock is dead. You bet your ass it is. Not because the talent isn't there, but because the business model just doesn't work. And so that leaves live performances. And I really hope once this vaccine takes hold, you better get shot up twice. I thought like it's my grandpa or something. Yeah. My Jewy grandpa. You get it once, it doesn't take. You got to go back. That people go out to the local clubs and see all the new bands and support new bands. Like a baby that's on the floor. Go up there, pick that baby up and coddle it. Give it love. New bands need your love.
Like a baby on the floor. Who's bringing a baby to the floor of a concert?
I don't know.
Imagine a circle pit opens up and there's just like babies crawling around.
All my children were not allowed to use chairs in their upbringing. I put them on the floor to teach them tough love.
Oh my God. If they were able to get up on like a desk or something, they might steal his copyright papers from him. He doesn't want his children getting those rights.
I was not allowed to use chairs or beds when I was a child in the Great Depression. So that is why my metaphor for hardship has always been children on the floor.
He just left them on the floor next to a bass guitar and he figured it out.
Yes. I'm bootstraps, Sydney. Bootstraps.
That's why his tongue is so long. He had to, like a frog, he had to like lick things to reach them.
Before I had full use of my arms and legs, I would propel myself across the floor using my musculature and my tongue. And that is how I developed such a powerful tongue.
It all makes sense.
All right. Learned so much. Learned so much.
It was when I had once flipped over myself. I was on my back as it would be a turtle. And I needed to flip myself over again. That is why I came up with the lyrics to Strutter. I remember I had a small teddy bear. In Yiddish, we call it a Melvin bear. But a Shmuel bear.
but he was also not allowed to be on furniture. So he would be on the floor with me. And he's what helped me come up with Beth. That was my inspiration for Beth.
Anyway. Wow, you wrote Peter Criss's song, Beth. I didn't realize that.
He did all of it.
Fuck Peter Criss.
He taught Geezer Butler the horns. He did all of it.
He's a no good Schmendrick.
Oh.
Okay, moving on to somebody who lacks any ego, Yngwie Malmsteen. This video clip surfaced recently. I thought it would be fun to play. I didn't realize this, but I guess he does a Q&A on his website, trying to get with the times, get with the social.
You mean he has video capabilities on his tripod.angelfire website?
I guess so. Here's the question. He says, the question is, can you please tell your management to get better musicians than ones they've given you?
Ooh, nasty.
What's the background of that? Like, who are his musicians?
I mean, I don't know. I never heard any particular criticism about his musician sucking.
Is that how it works? Like, your management goes out and finds other musicians
allow Yngwie to explain how it works in his band.
Oh, I see. Ooh, he's angry.
He looks better than I expected.
Pause.
It does. I was going to say the same thing.
I just wanted to say the same exact thing. Is it? Do you think it's like a filter or what?
How old is he?
God, he's close to 60, if not
older. Yeah, he's definitely in his 50s, I would say.
Really,
and that hair is dyed.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, Noah, there may be some filter going on, but not. I mean, he's still a relative.
No, it's nice lighting. Maybe it's early in the day where he hasn't drank, you know, 7 glasses of vodka yet.
Also, like, I mean, you got to have something about you that's working if filter's even going to work, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he definitely, like, does not look haggard. I thought he would be sitting there, like, looking very haggard. So we got to give credit where it's due.
The video was loading up. I was, like, preparing for Skeletor or something, like, really uncomfortable. And then he just looks like a normal dude.
I wouldn't say he looks normal. He looks like a normal Yngwie, maybe.
Yeah, sure.
He looks like a human being.
Yeah.
He looks like the Yngwie. All right. What to do?
Where is he from?
Sweden.
Okay.
He's 57.
It's pretty good.
So it's my fault that they suck.
Yeah, blame me.
I don't tell myself what to do.
Yeah.
It's like people saying Rob should be fired from meddling.
Totally.
He's breaking it down. The does.
So
maybe
this
had one
different departments. Thanks, I'm learning things from this.
Well, I think that's good. You know, like, I think it's good to, like. what a free frame.
I feel like we could just stop the. Oh, sorry, Noah. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say it looks like the Gene Simmons background that you have, where his eyes roll to the back of his head.
Yeah.
We can just stop this, like, multiple times for the next hour and just say what it looks like. I feel like that would be entertaining.
Happy belated, Yngwie. Thank you.
Jeez.
To-do.
I agree.
I agree, but it may not be the best strategy. Like, how many people are still listening to Ingoy Malmsteen? You really drive this. The guy's still listening. He may have had a little bit of a cheeky question, but.
You know how many people are listening? 1,036.
At least.
Oh, you got a point there. Okay. Sorry.
Okay, 1,036 views.
No, you've made your point.
You know.
Extremely popular.
There is a certain level of egotism here that he's so concerned with people knowing that he makes all the decisions that he's willing to show that his fans think that his band members suck to prove it. Like, he could have just ignored the question, but he's like, no.
I was just going to say the same thing. He didn't have to answer this question.
Yeah.
He didn't have to tackle this.
He,
unless
he,
this person
decided,
is a patron.
He's his own damn boss, so he chose the question, clearly. Nobody told him to.
But he had to lay it down because this is probably a question he probably got enough where he felt like it's time to acknowledge this.
And then he went and fired all his band members.
How do people submit questions to this Q&A thing that he does? Because
I'm not sure. What would you submit?
You should submit a question to Thor Schredstein.
I would ask him about his skincare routine.
Oh,
I'm very impressed.
I would ask him about his lustrous hair and hair products.
So as I found this video, oh, I guess he does a there's like a whole 1 hour masterclass this is from, but he actually plays in it. We don't have to go that. But someone compiled this amazing clip of like Yingwei moments, and I thought it'd be fun to quickly just go through it. Here's Yngwie Malmsteen. Yeah, he looks way worse here. And this
yeah,
is
he looks 20 years older.
Even his hair.
I'd venture to guess that this is the bad lighting.
Yeah.
The other one is more normal. This seems like making him look bad. That's just a guess. I don't know.
Oh, the eyeliner, too. Look at that.
Seems
that
like a different time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't look that bad. It doesn't seem like it was bad lighting.
And this is from 20 years ago now. Or more. Probably 30. It's the 90s, right?
Uh-huh.
I think so.
Is he, Noah, you're the expert on guitar stuff here. Does he, like, have a deserved place in the pantheon of guitarists or no?
I'm not that impressed by him, but I guess technically speaking, yes. Mm-hmm.
I've heard other people say that too, like that he's just really good at playing fast, but like there's no soul to what he does.
Yeah. I think those people were me on this show.
I definitely respect your opinion.
I don't think that takes away from his talent though. It's just, what are you looking for? Are you looking for someone with speed and precision, precision or someone with like soul and feeling, you know?
Well, it depends. Is he going to like do open heart surgery with his guitar playing and save my life?
And also, be fair, like those pants are so tight, there's not room for a soul. Look at that. Look at those tight leather pants.
Yeah, big cod piece right there. Man, if you dye his hair, you give him a little haircut, he looks just like Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Yeah. I see it.
It's the big doughy Danish.
Done.
Turn into Gene Simmons there for a second.
Was that one of the videos you studied for Thor Schredstein?
That video of him from 30 years ago is literally what I studied when I first did Thor Schredstein. Because there was a supercut of it, because it's called Arpeggios from Hell, I believe.
Yeah, Arpeggio. We made a whole video on that. From Jersey.
And so someone I remember did like a supercut of all of his like talking parts and how silly it was. And that was just what I...
That was the first video we did.
Yeah.
You just, you'd sang arpeggios from Jersey like 100 times in a supercut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is it. Hold on. Let me see if this, let's see really quick.
Wow. You guys know what that is, right?
Like a scale.
Oh, yeah.
Is that supposed to sound bad? Is it edited somehow?
I think it's edited to sound bad.
Yes, Sid. When you practice, you're supposed to play bad on purpose so that it sounds better when you really play. I know this.
You can't give away all the secrets.
Oh, nice.
Oh, thanks.
All right. I feel like a lot of this is like for video.
Oh, this
really
is it.
For audio.
All right, we get it. Very hard to explain.
I mean, it's also his second language. Maybe that's why it was hard to explain. He could tell you in Swedish.
It's also very weird that he would say that it's the most intense arpeggios that he's ever made, because he didn't make arpeggios.
Oh, shit. You're calling him out.
I'm throwing it down.
So what did he make? Explain. For the layman.
Arpeggios are the notes of the chord. So when guitar players are playing arpeggios on guitar, they're just going up and down the notes of a chord. Chords mm-hmm. are already established, so he's not, like, creating anything.
Yeah, fair.
I guess he's just, like, linking them all and playing them really fast.
Yeah.
So there's a theme of this show. People saying they invented things, and they didn't.
What is happening?
I don't remember the Thor Treadstein video that you're talking about, though.
Yeah, I just tried to find it on Metal Injection, and it's not there.
So Rob, did you delete that stuff? Were you embarrassed? What the deal?
Look, there's a whole bunch of other Thor Treadstein videos, but not the one I was talking about.
Hold on, I'll find it. But
the first one we shot, literally the first one.
Was it the one at the outdoor concert on Ocean Parkway?
No.
That was after it.
I have some cool photos from that, though. Somewhere. Let me see.
Yeah. Okay, hold on. Hey, listen. This was the Thor thing that I was talking about.
Oh.
Ah. No.
Wow. Yeah. Looks like Big Bird.
There it is.
Oh, little Darren cameo right there.
Hello.
Bless.
That was my little character in those. I was like the cowering stagehand.
The Fantacaddy.
In fact, I have a photo of, it's like the... you know, that's the painting of God and Adam touching, and it was like me and Thor, but like I'm handing him a Fanta like this, like reaching up with the Fanta.
Excellent. That was 13 years ago. That's crazy.
Thor is one of my favorite characters.
Just in general, or of the of Metal Injection?
I think of like the like when we were doing videos and stuff. Kind of, I guess I like the Russian guys. Who else was there? All the Halloween zombies. The yeah, I guess there's a lot. The drill sergeant. You remember that?
Oh yeah, Willis Dickfit. Yeah.
Oh yes.
Wow, I have a whole photo shoot with when we did that Ocean Parkway show.
Mm-hmm.
What was
oh,
that
yeah.
for? That was just that was just Thor making an appearance in Brooklyn, or
it was a Metal Injection. It was a Metal Injection sponsored concert, and we
It was we did the summer shows, and I think we were hosting. We did like a bit just to introduce.
We did a skit on the stage. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm putting this in the chat, by the way. I have one photo that's very funny. And then
we have to
share the rest later.
Yeah, we'll share it on the social medias. Oh, yes. Here, I could share it.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
The classic.
I remember this.
Good times.
In front of a dumpster for some reason. Good shot.
So another thing I want to talk about, you know, we've done cameo reviews on the show before. And we've highlighted some good ones and some bad ones. Most famously, Vincent Neil with a very bad one. Who else have we,
a very bad one that was very good for us.
Yeah.
Chris Holmes, not so good. James LaBrie, pretty good, because he actually did something unique for each fan.
Yeah,
Trevor,
for what his audience wants, for sure.
Trevor Undertaker. From Black Dahlia Murder, I thought was good. Undertaker, that's right. I almost forgot about Undertaker. All Elite Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Scooby-Doo.
Chris Barnes was another bad one.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
So, my friend got a cameo from one of the American Idol contestants, Constantine
Maroulis. Yeah, that was back when I actually watched American Idol. That was like 15 years ago at least.
Yes.
So you've watched American Idol,
yes.
You're saying.
So has Constantine Maroulis done anything since that?
I think he was in that musical Rock of Ages on Broadway.
Uh-huh.
I think that was probably his most successful.
That's correct.
Okay. And
so,
he was
a sixth place finalist, which
I don't know if you count that as a finalist, but sure.
That's far
I guess
than
everyone
I got.
That makes the show is a finalist.
He was my favorite that season, so he's got that.
Why is that?
He was like the rocker guy, and he had more personality than the rest of them.
That's
okay.
It's farther than everyone but five people got in the world. So.
Yeah.
So with that said, with Sid's approval here, this is his cameo. Now I downloaded it just so I didn't want to reveal my friend's full identity.
Oh.
But he obviously says her name and her husband's name.
Oh.
But this is like everything that we enjoy about these cameo reviews. In one video, to the point that I was like, I have to play this on the show. So let me cue it up here. Here it is.
Oh no!
Can you hear it?
Oh, I remember this guy.
He looks like Andy Samberg doing a character.
Yeah.
Whoa. Oh, okay.
Okay, hold on. Let me.
Okay.
Eddie.
Uh-huh.
He looks like Zach Braff.
Pause it, please. I'm sorry. Did she ask him to read his resume, or does he do this?
He just
does
that. Assumes people don't know who he is.
I like
that.
That one of his job titles is whatnot.
Yes, that's probably his biggest job title.
Yeah.
That's what really confused me. It was like, hold on, this person is your fan. They know where you're from. Like, why are you introducing, like, we don't need to know your, anyway, you get it.
Singing waiter at Burgers and Broadway.
Served you once at Dallas BBQ in Times Square. Can you get a little louder?
Yeah.
Wait, hold on.
That's her husband.
What? And that's her husband that he's calling a good boy. Very weird.
And whatnot is the whatnot is the Claire's type Broadway themed mall shop that he works.
Also, when he refers to Jekyll and Hyde, I want to let the audience know that that's a restaurant in New York City, mm-hmm. where the walls and pictures talk to you.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Like, so what did he do there? I don't understand. Unless is it also a musical?
No, he
or
just,
did he voice some of the wall ornaments?
He was a server.
He read the novel Jekyll and Hyde once in high school. Better pad out the resume, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You've been over the years, and I just want to thank you for that. I know it's been a hard year for all of us, and I hope you and your family are well and safe and hanging in there. And I promise you, we're going to get through this together. I can't wait.
What?
Together. He's coming over to...
he's coming over to hang out.
Well,
he's
going to make sure she gets her vaccine and brings her masks.
Why am
just
I getting turned on?
You're getting turned on?
Well, I mean, I guess I'm just like putting myself in Patty's shoes and I'm like...
Patty!
Is he hitting on her?
He does seem like very amorous. He might just be a good actor.
Well, that was like his thing on American Idol is he would make love to the camera. He would make those bedroom eyes into the camera, and he would get votes all the time. The ladies would just swoon.
No, I'm
okay.
Is it really working on you, Noah?
I mean, I told you I'm like feeling like a little bit of a tingle.
Wow.
Oh,
I don't see it.
Imagine him in his prime like 20 years ago, how you'd feel.
For all of us. And I hope you and your family are well and safe and hanging in there. And I promise you, we're going
to imagine if he didn't have
together.
To hide his
I can't wait
thing hair under
to get
the hat.
Back to the
fedora.
Do you think the long hair is attached to the hat or is it actually his?
It's like the cane mask.
Yeah.
He's got hair flowing out the back.
He's actually filming this from a Spencer's gift. He can't even afford the hat. He just has to. He's just using it for the cameos that he goes home.
Hey, asshole, you're still doing cameos in here? Get out of here.
All right, well, I got to cut this one short, Patty.
Sir, we told you 20 times, put on a mask, please.
Get back to work, fuckhead. I still got 4 minutes on my break.
Attention Spencer Gift customers. Please bring your remaining items to the front as the clothes. As the store is closing in 10 minutes.
Well, Patty, that means I got to wrap this up, but I just I'm going to get through this together.
And I just want to give you this promo code if you're ever at Spencer Gifts.
and just like I helped you get through coronavirus, you helped me get through another torturous wage slave shift here at Spencer's Gifts.
Big stage and rocking and rolling, hitting the high notes for great supporters like you, Patty, and Thomas.
Patty!
Well, hold on. We don't know Thomas is a supporter. I guess he did literally support him by paying him for this cameo.
Every time he says Thomas, he throws shade. I don't know if you've been noticing
that. Rewind that. I didn't notice that. Good catch. Let's see this.
High notes for great supporters like you, Patty.
I
got to
throw that in, but you know I really love you more than your husband does.
You know... I the whole time we've been watching this film, like, who is he reminding me of? And I couldn't quite place it, but I've got it now. And I apologize for even bringing this person up, but he with his facial hair the way it is and the puffiness of his face, I'm getting strong Ted Cruz vibes from him.
Oh, I can see it. Like hip Ted Cruz. Yeah, I can totally see it.
I don't know. Ted Cruz has some you say what you want about him. He has very nice, luxurious hair, I would say, for a senator. Evil, horrible person, but he does have the hair working, unlike this guy.
It's the face and maybe
very
the
much.
Voice.
Yeah. I know you just had a birthday, and I want to say happy birthday, Patty.
Oh, no.
Oh, we all love you so. Happy birthday. And because
I
guess you
with
came
this
to
bottle
Robin
right now, you
I
guys.
Oh, really? No, did that speak to you in some way?
This guy, I mean, it's like Sid says, he has bedroom eyes.
Yeah, I
don't see it. Like, I obviously,
I can't wait.
I mean, I feel like I'm very good at seeing what women see in men, even though I'm not attracted to men. Like, I feel like I have a good radar for that. I could say, oh, that guy's hot or whatever. I don't see it at all.
I am not attracted to him. This is like manipulation.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like you, Patty, and Thomas. Well, he loves you very much.
Look,
and
he just rolls his eyes every time he brings up Thomas.
And I want to say, happy birthday, Patty. Oh, we all love you so. Happy birthday. And because I guess you came to Rock of Ages and I
this
wasn't
is the best
there,
part.
Which is very rare. It must have been some sort of conflict, or maybe I was out of the show at that point.
I saw you in the front row and I ran screaming.
I heard you cry. Or something? I doubt it. I don't get sick. But I just wanted to say how I love the way you move and the sparkle in your eyes. There's a color deep inside them, like a blue suburban sky. I don't need to be the king of the world.
Oh, he's looking warned. Wow.
As long as I will always be your little girl. Heaven isn't too far away.
I just love that he's singing a song for Rock of Ages.
Is he allowed to? Does he have to pay royalties to use that?
Patty!
No, but we will on YouTube.
Oh, God damn it.
Come on, Patty.
So moist. Noah's so moist right now.
Ooh, Patty's so moist. Come on, Patty.
Come on, Noah. Noah's so moist.
Patty.
Have you guys seen some footage from when he was originally in American Idol and see what Noah thinks of that?
Oh, well, let's see. There's just a little more to this.
Let's finish.
Closer to it every day. No matter what your friends might say, heaven isn't too far away.
What a fucked up song when you think about it.
With an angel like
you. Yeah, like you're on death's door.
Yeah, closer to it every day, no matter what your friends might say. What? Huh? It's like a murder-suicide.
It's about the inevitability of death. It's true, but who wants to sing a song about the decaying, rotting flesh of the human condition? No one wants to hear that shit.
Every metal band?
What is this, fucking Deicide? He's fucking the American Idol, this fuck. What's the upbeat? What band is that originally? Cinderella?
Warrant.
Oh, Warrant.
Whose lead singer died young.
Well, technically, that invalidates the song because he's not closer to it every day anymore.
And who knows if he ever got to heaven.
Isn't he farther away from it every day?
Yeah.
Every day of eternity. He burns in hell.
For that fucking cherry pie song.
Yeah. Oof.
Is that what Constantine sings next?
Yes, I hope so.
You're my cherry pie?
Good. Happy birthday, Thomas. Loves the way you move.
Oh, yeah. They made it.
He looks like he's been crying.
I think he's the hero.
At this point, it's like, it's this weird thing where, like, okay, we should stick by now.
Yeah,
like,
this is, yeah. You're sticking around too long, man.
He's sticking around way, way too long. There's still 20 seconds left of this. All the women who have this made for, like this video made for them by their significant others point, and they're like, okay, wrap it up.
Come yeah.
About that.
Hang up on this fuck.
And I think he's the hero.
He's the truth and mozzarella hero.
You guys are lucky to have each other. Much love to you both. Many blessings. Hope you're enjoying the new album. Until I'm Wanted, it's available everywhere. Music is sold and streamed. Or you can go to my website, Constantinemaroulis.com, and pick up a signed copy for yourself. Much love to you.
I couldn't believe that part. I feel dirty now. I feel dirty.
I have one comment because I have to say what I was going to say, and I'm going to retract it. I was up until the last 5 seconds. I was going to say I respect this because it's in the James LaBrie category of I don't like this, but he's giving his fans exactly what they want and desire. And then he threw that fucking plug in.
Ugh.
I was like, just fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you, dude. Come on.
They already paid you, man. Come on.
Yes.
Right.
It's like an ad at the movies.
You can hear the change in his tone when he becomes like the announcer guy.
So insincere.
Agreed.
Like, did none of that just happen mean anything to you?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Cheated.
Oh my God. That's exactly. It's like a one night stand and the guy just like being a total jerk.
And the guy's like, hey, pick up my album.
No, if you need to talk.
I thought we had something.
We're here for you. No.
What?
You need some comforting.
Here's him on American Idol.
Oh, it's completely different. See, I could see now in this photo why he wouldn't find him attractive. But like now he looks like
Here's him at his Ted Cruziest.
Oh.
He looks like he has a butt chin. Does he have a butt chin or like a testicle chin? Like if you were to just zoom in.
Oh, come on.
Like,
you're ruining this for Noah.
It's a chingina.
Oh my, that's really
two lips on his
that
chin.
That is a very strong male chin. It's literally got two balls on it.
It's truck nuts for the face.
What is the evolutionary purpose of a chin that looks like that?
Yeah.
Place to store food for the winter?
I guess.
It's that it has the power to get you wet, so like it would attract sexual partners.
Wait, what is Steven Adler uses American Idol for appetite? Oh, okay.
For what? To do what? Backup vocals?
To do Guns N' Roses. No, he would do the singing. He would do the Axl stuff. Because, you know, Axl's not taking Steven Adler out on tour.
No.
So Adler needs some money.
What was that other story you just had up there? Seven-dose drummer? That looked like Scott Thompson from the Kids in the Hall. Did you see that? Can you put that back?
Oh, yeah. That's...
I never knew what the seven-dose drummer looked like.
Morgan Rose.
Like Scott Thompson.
Looks like Bill Apter.
Oh,
a little bit. That's a deeper reference even. like if somebody kidnapped Bill Apter and made him go on Lollapalooza 1994, they just had their way with him. Give him a rocker makeover.
Didn't we were just talking about Bill Apter. Wasn't it on one of our Patreons?
In our Discord.
Oh, in the Discord. Okay.
And I wanted to quickly share this. So I don't know if you guys know this, but Tito Ortiz, known Trump supporter, and very much a Trump supporter, anti-mask. He recently ran for city council in Huntington Beach, and he won.
This is an MMA guy.
Yes, he's a former UFC champion who is now retired.
Didn't we do a segment on him once where he was? We may not have done it on the show. I think maybe
I'm not sure if we did it on the show, but we might have rethought it because it made headlines because he would show up to these city council meetings at government buildings and not wear masks. And then people were like, hey, could you wear a mask? And he's like, what are you going to do about it? Like he would use his and it's just like,
once he said the city council, I instantly remembered his whole shtick. And there's a great video of him just like in the space of about 10 seconds, he gets everything wrong. And they do like five times, and they do like a vote, and he votes for the wrong thing. Like, no, I meant to vote the other way. Sorry.
Right. That was another, he just made headlines every week. So there was some sort of, I believe this had to do with COVID. There was something about like implementing restrictions, and he voted for it when he wanted to vote against it.
And they have to, they have to stop the whole procedure and like, oh, did you mean to vote the other way? Okay, what's your vote?
No. The vote was sealed, and then he was like, wait, I think I voted wrong. He's like, well, no bags, that's it. But anyway, so I guess also now they have, since it's a city council meeting, residents could call in and make requests or comments or whatnot.
They asked them, who hires his band members. Yeah.
What do you mean make requests?
Like requests about, you know, like, oh, there's a pothole that needs fixing or whatever.
Okay.
You know,
within their community.
Sure. Yes. And that's exactly what these people did. Take a listen.
I do a song request.
What up, council? My name is Chad Kroger.
Is Chad Kroger.
Chad. Oh, wait. Is this like a
big
troll?
Request?
A prank?
Well, let's listen.
I didn't make it up.
It's not like a Nickelback prank, though. No, that's not where this is going.
Oh, okay.
Chad Kroger, I come to you with a big request. I love the Vans Off the Wall skate park here in Huntington, and I frequently go there to rip on my scooter with JT.
What up?
Yeah, so we love the scooter.
JT's also there. He was the one that went, what up?
It's your party line.
Park, but lately our enthusiasm has taken a hit. Some of the regulars at the park have turned on me and JT, these two eighth graders, Brady and Taryn, and sometimes their older brother DJ, called Handlebar Jockeys and P-Words.
We've asked them to stop, and they won't.
Yeah, and we don't feel like anyone should be prejudiced against for what they choose to ride. It's unchill and, frankly, un-American. These groms have really messed with my confidence as a rider, too. So... since these kids don't listen to us, we think we know someone they will listen to. Former UFC light heavyweight champion and current Huntington Beach City Council member, Tito Ortiz.
I want to point out, you can see Tito right here, like, falling asleep. Basically.
Not giving
not
shit.
Reacting.
You're the Huntington Beach bad boy. These Groms are on your turf, so technically they're under your jurisdiction.
Yeah, and we would greatly appreciate it if you'd come down to the park and rectify this sitch.
We know the council has given you a lot of flack for not wearing a mask, but we have not forgotten that you have a super important skill set. We don't want you to ragdoll these eighth graders like they're Ken Shamrock, but we would like you to at least pose the threat of violence until they back off.
Yeah, we just want to scoot in peace.
We're going to go down on Wednesday. If you can come. Thanks, dudes.
Thank you.
Yeah, rectify this sitch, Tito.
Hey.
He didn't, the clip doesn't show. I don't think they...
He looks into the camera and sings, just like Constantine.
I got an opportunity to be on the, Pacific Events Committee with Bob Douglas. Christy was on there with Forest Club, of course. You want to see information on this event for Thanksgiving. It's Easter egg hunt. They're doing via drive-in.
You're the guy on the beach.
Easter egg hunt and drive-in? Why?
Did you see that guy's Zoom chat on the background?
Oh, yeah. It's probably Huntington Beach.
Is that Kyle Mooney in the bottom?
On the islands, Admiral Drive. They said it should be done by January 2002.
2002.
Try again. Bridge, and they should work into mid to late 2002.
DTE is no joke, Rob. Take it easy on
them. Yeah,
you could still win a position in office with CTE. So bless his mother, bless his father.
So are you doing a rebuttal to the Flavor Flav song, CTE is a joke?
That's my follow-up single.
So, Noah, what happened with you and the plantains?
I'm going to say it like that.
Plantains.
Well, it was a different culture than the one that you're trying to emulate right now. I just wanted to share a really sweet story. I went to like a small restaurant. I can't remember the name. It was just like, we just kind of found it, but it was West African food. It's African food before.
Look
at
what's the food, what's like this. What is West African food?
I guess plantains.
I had something called fufu, which is mashed yams with like I think like corn flour or something like that, or some kind of flour, and it looks like mashed potatoes. but it's a little bit more starchy. And then I had this like whole chicken. They also had goat there. Didn't have the goat this time because I don't eat goat, but my fiance does. In this like peanut broth, and he had the version of like a barbecue chicken. So anyway, we get into this place. It's the family that owns it is from Togo, which is a country in West Africa. And there is a man sitting at the, it's just like a bar and then a couple of tables. And it was just one person in there at the bar. And we come in, we say hello, we go sit down, we're eating. Anyway, okay, so this man comes in, this like very jubilee, like very, very white, white hair, khakis, his shirt tucked in with his belly over. And this man is just like, today is Ghana's Independence Day, so I'm here to celebrate. I had to get this food. And then he started like telling everyone in the restaurant how he's from Ghana and his family is there. And it was just like very, I was just like, wow, this is like very unusual. I didn't expect this very white man to come in here and express his love for Ghana. Anyway, so he leaves and he starts chatting with the guy at the corner of the bar. And then we're almost at the end of our meal and I'm basically just like sitting there like totally full, but we have two more plantains left. I take one and I'm just like, I just like put it, you know, like I just start chewing on it really, really slowly. And just my Homer Simpson thing where it's like, oh, you know, just like very much enjoying the plantain as the man from the corner of the bar goes to check out. And I look over and he's just like looking at me laughing and he starts asking me like where I'm from. So we told him that we're from New York and he's like, have you ever had West African food before? So I told him no. And he's like, how do you like it? So I said, I really, really like it. And he said that what I ordered is his favorite thing, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, you know, you enjoyed your food so much that I paid for you. And he ended up paying for us.
How dare he?
And it was just so kind. I couldn't believe it. So I just wanted to share a feel-good story.
It's very chauvinistic just to buy a woman's food like that.
No, he bought... No. He didn't buy only my food. He bought my food and my fiancé's food.
Mm. I thought he was trying to make time with you.
He might have been trying to make time with both of them.
That's
He said he was in town for work. He was originally from Oklahoma. And he also works for the Department of Defense. He's like an IT guy. So he was probably like on a business trip and he expensed it. So ultimately the Department of Defense bought me a meal.
Oh, so
he probably remembered
it.
You from the Tank Museum. He's like, oh, I know that girl. I'll get her a meal.
She looks like she likes some
tanks. He's originally from Nigeria. So just nice people.
In town to set off some underground nukes or something.
But you don't remember the name of the restaurant to promote it.
I can look. I think it might be called Togo, West African food.
Yeah, I guess there's probably not like a ton of West African restaurants in Arizona.
And it was just so sweet, like a mom in the kitchen, and her daughter and stuff there. It was just a very pleasant experience.
What were they doing in the kitchen?
Oh, I was gonna say.
Fucking.
Oh, nice.
That reminds me of Indian restaurant I went to in Brooklyn, which is very good, but the one drawback is you have to walk through the kitchen to go to the bathroom, wash your hands or whatever, and they don't like you going through the kitchen. Like the people actually working in there would just sneer at you, like, oh, another fucking asshole coming through the kitchen. Like, well, I don't want to do it either. Don't put the fucking bathroom in the kitchen, buddy.
And I love Indian food, but it makes you have to go to the bathroom. So you think they'd be used to it by now, right? Like,
I guess.
It's probably an extremely regular occurrence.
I feel like most of this is before the coronavirus, but most people seem to patronize them by ordering food. So they may be snobbish about people actually sitting there and eating, you know?
I've noticed that too. There were Indian places in my old neighborhood where there would never be a soul inside the restaurant. But they had like 7 delivery guys at least.
Yeah.
You know, like the bikes would be parked outside the restaurant. The restaurant always empty. The food was amazing. I would order from there, but no one ever went inside to eat.
I think in Bay Ridge we went to an Indian place, and like when I think it was like six of us who had walked in there. They were just like, oh my God, we have people in here. They were so happy to see us.
Yep.
And so taken aback by it.
Yeah, I think I think this is not even a joke, but I'm being serious. I think a lot of white people are intimidated by sitting in an Indian restaurant and having to order the food, and like it's not their culture, you know. So maybe they just order it only. And the ones, especially in white neighborhoods, have a way more delivery than in dining, in restaurant dining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure like a lot just don't want to be like that stereotypical white person ordering chicken tikka masala. They don't
yeah.
want to be seen doing it, but they'll do it over the phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Not that there's anything wrong with chicken tikka masala.
Oh, yeah, chicken masala is great.
Just it's get good, it extra spicy.
Yeah, but it's just like the basic bitch. Thing
yeah,
get.
For sure.
Because it's great. I mean, I get other stuff too.
I think it's all great. The only thing is that's like the entry level thing.
Yeah.
It's not that spicy. And it's mm-hmm. Something, it's the closest thing to American food, probably.
Mm.
Chicken with tomato sauce.
There used to be, well, I mean, I hope it's not there used to be. I hope it's still, but when I was in the office at work, Roland and I would go get Indian at least like once a week. And the, I guess because we were there so many times, we would come in and the waiters would just like already know what we wanted to eat. It was just like very sweet.
What was your order?
I like the aloo matar gobi.
Mm.
And I get it with rice and with onion kulcha.
Very nice.
Mm. Just a lot of carbs.
Nothing wrong with that.
Unfortunately, I haven't found a good Indian restaurant that I feel comfortable getting the food from because it's happened to me over and over again. They just don't wear masks. Every place I go into, all my old favorites that I used to love, I haven't really found one that I found to be and that's not, I'm not picking on Indian restaurants because the majority of restaurants I go into are not following that procedure either. So it puts me off from getting food.
Why don't you get it delivered and then just nuke it?
I don't feel comfortable. Like it's not even that, how can I put this? It's not even that I think I'm going to get COVID from the food. It's just when I see that they don't care. Like what else are they doing?
Yeah, it makes you wonder.
You know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So fucking pubic hairs in my food and shit.
Oh, I found hair in my food.
But it was your own.
Yeah, it's always my hair.
No, it was like a dark black hair. So you just pull it out, put it on the side, and keep eating.
Put it on the side? You don't even throw it away? You just keep it for later?
Well, there's no garbage next to me when I'm sitting on the couch.
You never know you're going to need another person's pube. Save that.
A little garnish for later.
Yeah.
Put you on a gurney after the gurney.
You don't want to be the person choking on a pube.
And with that, I think it's time to move on from the show.
Oh, I was going to say, I thought there was another segment coming up.
Wait, should we talk about our Spotify list?
Yeah.
Before we go?
So we have a Spotify playlist. Every week we pick four songs. Each of us pick a song. We call it the Metal Injection Livecast Music Break. And you can subscribe on Spotify. We have a link in the episode description, getting a little burpy from the seltzer.
Indian food?
I haven't had Indian food today. Actually, my dad made Persian stew, and I had that yesterday, but that's out of my system. It's similar to Indian food. I've actually had, there's like some Indian dishes that are comparable. I don't remember the names of them, but it's similar. It's very similar. But anyway, our Spotify music break. We each pick a song, and it's nice. It's nice, and we have quite a queue of songs now because we've been doing it for a few weeks. What did everybody pick? Sid, what did you pick?
I picked a song by the band DFL, stands for Dead Fucking Last. They were compatriots of the Beastie Boys, and various members of the Beastie Boys played in this band as time went on, and it basically sounds like the punk songs that the Beastie Boys would do on their records, like just like Minor Threat style, like skate punk kind of stuff. And it was very good and I liked it. And so I picked one song. That's all.
Okay. Noah, what did you pick?
I picked Entombed. And for anyone who is not into this band just yet, you should get into them. Mm-hmm. You will never be able to see them play live anymore because their lead singer passed away from cancer.
That's right.
So to honor him, the song Revel in the Flesh from Left Hand Path, which is a very good Entombed album. So please listen to it. And
agreed. I've been listening to a lot of Left Hand Path and Wolverine Blues these last 2 days. After.
Yeah, Wolverine Blues is also a very good album.
Do they ever tour with
sounds.
These Nuts?
Huh?
I don't think they did.
These Nuts?
No, I don't think so. They might have played a festival with These Nuts, but the follow-up band, Entombed AD. I picked Ministry, the song Scarecrow. The reason I picked the song was...
Hashtag R.I.P. a legend.
Oh, sorry.
R.I.P. a legend.
Came in a little late for Entombed.
The reason I picked the Scarecrow track is I shared in the Discord. Oh, by the way, we have a Discord. If I could do a plug. Discord for the podcast, a bunch of different chat rooms. You can chat with us all week long. There's also a link in the description. We share stuff, share things we find around the internet. It's very much an extension of the show in text form. And in the Discord, I shared a video edit for the pro wrestler Big Van Vader. And the video was edited to the song Scarecrow by Ministry. And it's an incredible song, and the edit reminded me of it. And so I wanted to share with our live cast fans. I'm very much into industrial music, and Ministry are one of the forefathers. Darren, what did you pick?
I played Constantino Muglietti of American Idol, singing Warrant, She's My Cherry Pie. No, Baby, I Got Your Money by the great ODB, Old Dirty Bastard.
Classic.
All right, and that's our Spotify playlist. And before we get the hell out of here...
Oh, could I just – there's still one spot left in the Livecast Fantasy Baseball League. The season starts at the end of the month, so you have a couple more weeks. But get your request in. Tweet at me or get at me in the Discord, and I will send you an invite. Go, go, go. You get a free piece of merch if you win.
You could tweet him at
– Land Injection. That's right.
Also, I should say that we are now doing a head-to-head league.
Yes.
You get to play Sid or me. Or any of the other people you know, the other fans from the Discord, one-on-one every week.
Yeah.
And then you move on to another player the next week.
It's
going to
be a lot of fun.
All righty. And so as we wind down, I want to give a shout-out to the top Livecast fans of the week. And to be a top Livecast fan of the week, all you got to do, hit up our Patreon. Join. It's $10 a month. And you get all the perks of the $5 a tier, which is the bonus episodes, the video episodes, and you get a little shout out at the end of the show,
Rob,
which is right now.
Rob, will you do it as Thor Shredstein?
Thor Shredstein has been recruited by the Metal Injection Livecast. To shout out our top Livecast fans of the week. Number one, Thor Shredstein. Number two, Thor Shredstein. Number three, Thor Shredstein. Okay, Thor is just making some humor, some good humor, a wonderful brand of ice cream. And I want to give a big shout out to Eric. Eric is a wonderful pharmacist. He's got the great opiates under the table.
Oh, no.
Don't tell the pharmaceutical boards because he might lose his license. Robert Ganoush, a.k.a. Justin, did not give me cocaine that one time, so you are on the hit list. Benjamin was one of my studio musicians under the canned him after a fan sent me a question asking me why Benjamin is a studio musician. So you're gone, Benji! El Duderito, I hear he's got a hot fiance.
But I tell you what, Dudorino, you better not bring her around because she'll be El Thorfredstino after I'm done with her. I guess she's more of a La Thorfredstino. I don't know. Latino grandma. Dan Ah! Dan Ah! I'm giving a shout out to Dan Ah! Are you there, Dan? Mindy Mayer's kippa. My accountant wears a kippa. I will not say anything disparaging about my accountant because it's tax season. Croc Destroyer, nothing wrong with that. India, Sierra reminds me of Sierra Mist, which is one of my mortal enemies because Thorsch Redstein only drinks Fanta. Janda. Shasusits. I played Shasusits once. It was right after my New Hampshire game. It was an okay show, but the lighting guy wouldn't put the light on my guitar. Weird. LaCroix. No, thank you. I prefer vintage. The Crustacean Sensation, a.k.a. Godstopper. This type of guy looks and sounds like he eats the shrimp with the skin on it. Ash Basilov. Who the hell is that? Dallas. Yeah, I played Dallas. The Coke is terrible. Robert Vampiro. Thor Shredstein doesn't like vampires. Although Thor Shredstein does stay up all night, ladies. Shane. What kind of name is Shane? I prefer Sean. A Shan. Hugo likes tacos. Thor likes cocaine. Lando Danks. No thanks. Perilous Patches. Scooby-Doo 182. And Douglas, who are you? Levison. That's Thor Shredstein. That's my time, folks. Pick up my new DVD. In stores now. All right. Thank you, Thor.
Yay.
Brilliant. Definitely worth the $100,000 we have to spend.
That's our entire Patreon budget. So thank you all. We'll be back next Tuesday for another new episode. Tune in. Join the Discord. Say hello to us. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to know who you are. Who are you? What are you doing? Share some cameos that your friends sent you that we can make fun of.
Oh, yeah. Thank you to Patty.
Does Patty know that you use that?
Patty.
All right.
Jack her in the video. Patty.
Don't jack her in the video. All right. We're out of here, folks. Bye.
Patty. Ooh. Ha-ha. Patty.
Oh, that was great.
Okay. That was good.
Wait, how did you get that video from Patty?
Oh, she posted it on her Facebook.
You're so funny. That was great.
It's so good. I was like, we have to talk about it, especially when he plugged it. I couldn't believe
how
plugging
much
it to
it
one
cost?
Person. Oh, I didn't check. Let's see.
How much did Thomas fork out for that?
That's so cute that they did that for each other.
Well, okay. She didn't do shit for him.
He probably $55. That's not
okay. That's fine.
She probably made him do it or did it herself and said he did it.
Oh my god. Well, could you imagine if she ordered it for herself and then posted it as if it was a gift?
Oh, and it's on his page, too.
They shared it?
Oh, well, no, like on his cameo page, I guess, because he just recently did it.
Okay, so then we could say public domain.
Okay, so then we could have just said that we got it from there, if anything.
Yeah. $55 is pretty reasonable. I thought he would think he'd be a little more expensive.
Should we get one for Noah, where he's just flirting with her for 3 minutes?
Oh, he was born in Brooklyn.
There you go. Maybe he dated Patty at one point.
Patty! So we should. I don't want to use that on social media because
Ah.
I see it.
Yeah.
So something about Geezer Butler.
Yeah. Oh, or the Gene Simmons stuff was very
Gene
funny.
Simmons, Ingwe. There's plenty of like metal musicians.
Yeah.
The Ingwe.
The Ingwe stuff was really funny. About like when we were playing the video, the review. Yeah, so those are the three. Something from the Gene, some from Geezer, and something from Ingwe.
What did we talk about in the beginning? What was
Geezer
the
Butler
thing?
With the metal horns?
That was the first thing?
I think so.
Yep. Then we moved on to Gene Simmons. Then we moved on to Ingwe. Then we did the cameo. And then I believe Know Your Story.
Okay.
That sounds right.
Okay.
All right.
Great job, everybody.
Right. Bye.
Okay. Bye.